Well, good morning. It's a blessing to be here today and to see each and every one of you that are here. And looking forward to a good week of vacation Bible school. So let's open your Bibles this morning to the book of Ephesians. And we're going to have entitled this, How You Can Be a Help in Vacation Bible School. How You Can Be a Help in Vacation Bible School. I could give it another title and call it this simply, How You Can Be a Help in Your Church. Amen. And but since we're having Bible school, we'll call it How You Can Be a Help in Vacation Bible School. It's a great week. And but the church is such an important aspect of our Christian life. You know, many people sadly miss the benefits of being a part of the church. And there's a lot of things I can say about the church. Over in Zimbabwe, where we spent the last several months, I preached through the book of Ephesians. When I first got over there, I kind of sensed there was a need. The church just seemed a little bit, I might say fragmented, I don't know if that's the right word or not, but just a little bit out of touch with each other, you know? And so I wanted to talk about the church. And the book of Ephesians is a tremendous, tremendous book about the church that Paul wrote to the church at Ephesus. He had many good things to say about it. And you could go to the book of Acts and you could see how when Paul came through there and then he returned later on and met disciples and people got saved and the church grew and it flourished. And but sadly, if you read the book of Revelation, where the church at Ephesus is last mentioned, God talks about that church having lost its first love. And that's what the book of Ephesians is about, how a church is supposed to be. And so I'm going to say a little bit about that. I might this evening might go a little bit more about it or might go in a different direction. But I just want to read a couple of verses that are found in the book. Chapter number 2. First of all, because Paul makes two illustrations about the church. And so let's read verse number 19, and we'll read down to verse number 22. It says, Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And I hope this morning that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. Amen. That means you are not a foreigner. You are now a fellow citizen. There's nothing like being a foreigner in a faraway land. That's just not a nice place to be. But it's nice when you're a citizen, you have all the rights and the benefits that come with that. But then it goes on in verse 20, it says, And are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And of course, we know that the word of God, especially the writings of the apostles and the prophets, we have that, Jesus Christ. The church is built upon that. Now look at verse 21. It says, In whom all the building fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. So the first illustration that Paul uses about the church is like a building, all right? And how many of you have ever built a house or a building or a doghouse? I mean anything, all right? How many of you ever put a puzzle together, all right? Put a puzzle together, all right? Anytime you assemble something, how many of you ever put like, you know, you bought that thing at Walmart or, you know, and it came with those instructions in 71 languages, you know, you had to find the English one, you found it. And it was, you know, part A, part B, you know, and everything had to what? It had to fit together, all right? And if something is cut the wrong shape, cut too short, cut too long, if it's a puzzle piece and somebody didn't cut the little pieces just right, didn't make it right, it doesn't work. It doesn't what? Fit together, all right? So the Bible says, Paul using the illustration says, in the church, we are all like a building. We are all cut, designed, and fit together, all right? And understand that that's all. Could you imagine if this building, I remember when it was being built and coming by at different times, seeing at different stages. Could you remember if every piece of wood was shaped and cut like the rafters? Your walls would look a little bit funny, wouldn't they? The floor would definitely be unusual, you know. You understand that every piece is cut different sizes, different shapes, has a different purpose, all right? And you don't need, you know, multiple door frames. You know, you need how many door frames you have doors for, right? And could you imagine if you were building the building and, you know, it all came from the lumberyard and there was 200 door frames. And so we had exit doors all around this auditorium. Now, I suppose it would work, but it would kind of look unusual, wouldn't you say so? You would say, why do we need all those exit doors? We only need, you know, what the code says. And if you have extra exit doors, they don't really have any value, you see. And that's why when God places people in a church, everybody is unique. Now, is there a difference between this door and that door over there? Absolutely. Would you switch those? Would you like put the exit door there and put that door over there? It probably wouldn't be very secure. That door has no lock on it, you know. It's not the same, right? And this would be a really bad door to have back there, you know, to try to come in and out of all. And could you imagine these two doors, if they could speak, this door back there saying, I'm better than you because I have glass. And this door here says, no, I'm better than you because I have a breaker bar. And when you hit that breaker bar, bam, it sounds so great. And could you see the chorus? Wouldn't that be kind of foolish? Right? They're each unique and they each have their own what? Own purpose. Now, that door back there takes a lot more maintenance, doesn't it? What do you have to do to that door back there all the time? Who cleans the church? Help me out, ladies and guys. What do you have to do to that door back there all the time? Man, you're always cleaning the glass, right? But do you think we should throw the glass away? No, but we need the glass, because without the glass, somebody on the outside is going to get smacked, right? Are you following me? I know the glass is a lot of maintenance, but the glass is what? Necessary. Does this door need all the glass? No. Do you see what I'm saying? And the Bible tells us we're foolish when we compare ourselves one with another, right? Because we are all unique. If you don't believe that, come stand up here and look out that way. You are all very unique. God created each of you with different talents, gifts, and abilities to serve a different purpose in the church. You see? Just like a puzzle piece. You puzzle makers, if every piece looked the same, you'd have a problem, wouldn't you? What do you call that little outside piece that connects? I don't know if puzzler people know all the names. If all the puzzle pieces just had the outside things and there was no inside cutouts, it'd be kind of hard to connect it together, right? They're all uniquely made to what? Fit together. And that's why God has you in Custer, South Dakota, in this area, as a part of Mountain View Baptist Church. Because there's a need in the church, and God created you specifically to meet that need. So Paul gives this illustration in Ephesians chapter number 2, that when you get saved, you're no longer a stranger, you're no longer a foreigner, you're now a fellow citizen, and you fit into the church, the work of God. Now, look over in chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, he makes another illustration as he's teaching this church at Ephesus about how the church is supposed to work together. Ephesians chapter number 4, and we'll pick up the reading here. Back in verse number, I'm going to read a lot longer here, but verse number 11, all right, because you'll see the similarities. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11, it says, and he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, if you remember back in chapter number 2, he said the church was built upon, and he mentioned three things, the prophets, the apostles, and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, right? Now, here in chapter number 4, he's painting the same picture, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. Look at verse 12. For the perfecting of the saints, that word perfecting there, is completion, mature, being everything God wants you to be. Now, notice the next statement underneath of that. After perfecting of the saints, it says for the what? There's a four-letter word there we don't like. Well, unless it's for the work at, you know, our job. We kind of like that. But the work of the what? Of the ministry. There's an expectation that God has that when God saves you, you grow, you mature, all right, so that you can do the work of the ministry. That's why God saved you. He didn't just save you so you can go to heaven. He saved you because he has a purpose for you right now. Now, let's go back to the thought that each of us, God has a different purpose for. Okay? Doesn't want us all, even the list that we just read, from prophets, apostles, pastors, teachers, all different people, right? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry. It goes on and says, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The word edifying, the building up. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, there's that word complete again, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, being what God wants us to be. Verse 14 is an interesting verse, that we henceforth be no more children. Now, if you want to understand what this verse means, come this week to Vacation Bible School. Children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Now, I use the illustration of children, and children are pretty amazing, aren't they? Because they can go from this extreme to this extreme just like that. I mean, you see little kids, they can be fighting and killing each other. Bam, 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 give me that toy. 2 minutes later, they're sitting underneath their chair and, you know, licks on their sucker, you know. That's just kids, right? That's what they do. And they bounce around, they bounce around, they bounce around. They're all over the place. Now, God says that we as his people need to grow up and mature and become steady, stable, not just bouncing around. You know, kids get excited easy. You know, you get out of a balloon, get all excited, you know, and do something. Maturity tells us that we do things because we're supposed to do it, you know. With kids, we say, all right, everybody sit up straight, put your hands in your lap, and whoever sits up the best, the quietest, the straightest for the next, you know, 20 minutes, they get something. But we shouldn't have to do that with adults, amen? Although we sometimes need to. But when we mature in life, we stop that. We begin to do what we're supposed to do because we know it's what we are supposed to do. Now remember, for the work of the ministry. Sometimes we have to entice people to do the work of the ministry. That's because they're still children in their faith. But when you have matured, you see what God wants you to do, and you what? You do it. Okay? Now keep reading here, because Paul's got a little bit more to teach us here. All right? In verse 15, speaking the truth in love, he says, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So we see the church. We see Christ again, the apostles, the word of God. But look at verse 16, because here's the illustration that compares to what we read in chapter number 2. It says, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. Now, do you remember the word back in chapter 2, verse 21? It says you were fitly framed together. And just like a building, every part is unique and it all connects in a certain way to make a perfect building. He says the church is also like a body fitly joined together. Now, obviously we all have a body, right? And everybody can hold up your hand, right? Your hand has a purpose, right? Does your hand fulfill the same purpose as your foot? I don't think so. Any of you eat with your toes? Now, I saw a guy do that one time because he didn't have hands. But your toes are not designed for eating. They're designed for what? Walking. Is your ear the same as your nose? I mean, you know, when the flowers start blooming, Brother Jeff, do people come down to your greenhouse and go, oh, that flower smells so good? If they did, you're going to look at them kind of strange, right? Because the ear is not for smelling, it is for what? Hearing, right? Do you hear through your nose? I hope not, right? If anybody's got their hearing aid stuck in there, they probably have a problem, all right? I'm just saying, each part of the body has a different purpose, does it not? It all forms a function. Now, notice what Paul says here in the illustration, all right? The whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which, what's that little word right there? Every joint supplieth. Every part of the body has a purpose, all right? My hand does not get to taste the food. You know? You stick your fingers in those spices all day long and you just can't taste it, right? Your tongue is for what? Tasting. But just because your hand cannot enjoy the pleasure of the taste doesn't mean the hand does not receive the benefit of the food. Because after the hand puts the food in the body, the hand doesn't say, that tastes good. But the body does everything it does with the food, and the hand receives what? The blood supply and everything that's needed for the hand to be able to. You know what I'm saying? It all works together. How foolish it would be for the hand to say, well, if I can't taste the food, I'm not putting it in your mouth. That would be a problem, right? I'm just saying it's all different. And every part of the body is supposed to supply to help the body. Which, once again, Paul's using this as an illustration to what? The church. And so God wants you to be an active member of the church, being the part of the body. Now, you know, unfortunately, some parts of the body get noticed more than other parts of the body. Your face is much more noticeable than your little toe. Amen? I don't know if anybody walked in today and looked down at everybody's little toe and said, "Oh, how are you today? Your little toe looks so beautiful." Now, I know maybe some lady painted it up real pretty or something like that. But really, when you looked at somebody, what did you look at? Their face, right? And we notice the face. Now, when you got up this morning and you went into the mirror, did you, you know, put your toe up in the mirror and let it look at it and make sure it was okay before you came to church? What did you look at in the mirror? Your face, right? And some of you combed your hair. Others just took a washcloth, all right? Some of you need to. No. you brushed your teeth, right? You looked at certain features. You said, and this is where you focus. But does that mean that these unseemly or unknown parts of my body are of any less importance? If you don't think so, let me just take a hammer and smack your little toe really hard. All of a sudden, that little toe is very noticeable, isn't it? And I'm just saying it all has a part in our body. Everything. And so it is in the church. Some of you in the church never get noticed unless you're hurting. If you're hurting, then the whole body rushes to what? Comfort that part. Isn't that true? The whole body hurts when you hurt. But you know what? If you're not hurting and nothing's wrong and you're just there existing, doing what you're supposed to be doing, life is great. And that's the illustration that Paul gives of the body. Let's just read just a little bit more, verse 16, because we didn't finish it. He says, "By that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part." Now notice this last statement in verse 16, "making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Taking care of ourselves. And that's what each of us has a responsibility in the body. Now my question to Swern is this. First of all, let's just talk about the church. Do you know the part that you are in the church? Do you know why God has you here at Mountain View Baptist Church? Because every person should know. You should be identified as, I know this is my responsibility. This is why God placed me here in the church. And I'm going to do my function and be who God wants me to be. And I'm going to serve the Lord because God saved me for the work of the ministry. And if you're here this morning and you say, I don't know where I fit in the church, let me give you some just free advice. Amen. Go to Pastor and say, "Pastor Matt, you know, I'm here at the church, but I just don't know where I fit in. Where do I fit in?" That's why God gives a pastor. Amen. He gives to oversee. He knows more about the church than any other person here because God gave him to be the what? The pastor. Now, remember, that was all free. You don't have to pay me for that, okay? And he didn't pay me either. But it's very good biblical advice. That's why he gave it to you. Go to the scriptures and get in the Word of God and read the scriptures with the specific intent that, God, I want you through the Spirit of God to show me through the Word of God where I fit in my church. I was in a church not too long ago, and they did something kind of unique. They had a job fair at the church. And they literally, just like you'd go to a job fair somewhere in a community, they listed everything they could think of that needed to be done in the church, from vacuuming the carpets to painting to lawn maintenance to teaching classes to deacons to, I mean, just everything they could think of. They listed it, and then they kind of gave down, you know, basic requirements for that, you know, position. You know, obviously, if you're going to be the lawn person, you do know how to cut grass, right? And things like that. But there was this, you know, things like that that they listed it all down. They put everything out in a big room in the church, and they had a Saturday or Friday or whatever it was, and everybody came, and they walked around, and they signed their names for things they were interested in, and then they started meeting as groups. And I was at this church before COVID, hadn't been there since COVID, and I was amazed when I went there again after COVID. When I went there before, I'll just tell you what was happening. When I went there before over the years, honestly and seriously, the pastor was doing everything. And when I was there, if it was time to set up church fellowship, him and I would set up the chairs. We'd go get the cups, the plates. We would do all the work. When I was there this year at that church, here's what was amazing. they're having a fellowship. I said, do we need to go get stuff? He said, nope, it's all taken care of. Him and I did nothing that week. I mean, we just sat around, drank coffee, and had a great time, you know. And, you know, we went out and visited people, which is what pastors are supposed to do. And really, nothing. I mean, the church dinner, everything, the opening of the building, the closing of the building, the cutting of the grass, the turning on of the water sprinklers, everything was done by people in the church. It transformed the church. Because everybody in the church finally understood why they were at that church. That they were a part of the body. And instead of one member of the body doing everything, your hands are very useful, right? But you're going to get pretty tired if you have to walk with your hands, right? You're going to get pretty tired if your hand has to, you know, like manually pump your heart all the time, keep the blood going, you know. And that's what happens in churches. When just a few people are doing everything instead of everybody doing the part that they are supposed to be doing. And that's what Paul was writing to the church at Ephesus about. One of his teachings there was to grow as a believer and become the part that God wants you to be in the church. So you need to know that in the church. Now, I want to talk for a few minutes specifically about Vacation Bible School. Because Vacation Bible School is a work of the ministry. Amen? And it is a work of the church, which means that nobody gets an exemption from not having a part in Vacation Bible School. You see, this whole building is all working together. Now, I know that there are parts of this building that we don't notice, you know, that doing its part, and that, you know, like the 2x4s behind the drywall, the insulation. There's lots of things we don't notice, but I'll guarantee if they packed up and left, we'd notice they weren't here doing their part. You see what I'm saying? Everything's doing its part. And if any of it breaks during the week, you know, I mean, the carpet's nice, it's doing its part, we don't notice it. But if somebody, if the part, the carpet starts coming unraveled, we're going to notice it. You know what I'm saying? And every part of the church has a part. Some of you will never be noticed as long as you're doing your part. But the question is, do you know your part? So I wrote down some things this morning just to ponder. And oftentimes in our teachers' meeting at 5:30, which we'll have tonight, we talk about some of these, but I kind of wrote them down in a different order because sometimes one of the things that we put down at VBS are things like prayer. And sometimes we use prayer as the excuse. Well, I'm praying for VBS, therefore I have nothing else to do with VBS. I don't want to minimize prayer. And I believe that God wants us to pray for VBS. And I believe that we ought to pray, you know, for the children by name. We ought to pray, you know, during the preaching time. We ought to pray in the evening for the teen time. I believe in all of that prayer. And I believe that every person ought to pray. And definitely there are some people that God has placed them in the church as the prayer warriors in the church. Amen. And we should do that. But sometimes it is our excuse for not doing what we're supposed to be doing. Well, preacher, I'll be praying for you, amen? It's kind of like when James talks about somebody coming and saying they need food, and we say, well, blessed and be filled, but we don't give them any food. Have we helped them? And sometimes we as believers, as important prayer is, our prayer is dead because there's no faith, there's no works with it. And I'm not saying you shouldn't pray. And if God has called you specifically to that ministry of prayer during this week, I'm not minimizing that in any way, shape, fashion, or form. But sometimes I think people say about the ministry, well, I'm praying for it. And I'm glad they do. But is that really the part God has for them? Because is it really their ministry of prayer? Do they really and truly and honestly and sincerely pray as God says to pray? So we say that everyone can be involved in prayer, and we should be, but maybe there's something more than that. Sometimes we say inviting other people to come. And so we take some flyers, we put them up on our car, we put them up at our place of work, we put them on door-to-door. That's a part that every person can be a part of in Vacation Bible School. I believe in it. I think it ought to be something we can do to invite people and be concerned about that. But is that our only part in Vacation Bible School? Sometimes we talk about giving, and obviously Vacation Bible School is a huge budget line item in a church. I know that because I've been doing these for 30 years, 11 to 12 every summer. I know the church's budgets on VBS are huge. First of all, you bring somebody in from the outside, which is expensive. It costs a lot to bring somebody in to help you. That little table out there that's full of toys, man, toys have got up in value. I'd just rather give a kid a buck these days than buy him a toy, you know? I mean, it's crazy how much that stuff. Candy! Good night. Candy is like ridiculous. Let's buy carrots instead, you know what I mean? It's just insane, the cost. And it takes a lot of giving, the cookies, the pizza, the snacks, and all those things that take place. And it's needful and it's necessary, and God wants us to give. Amen? But is that our only part? Is that just the part that God wants us to do? We could talk about other things that need to take place in Vacation Bible School. The cleaning of the building. Obviously, it's a great thing, and I'm so grateful for any person that's willing to come in and after the kids go home and vacuum and clean, you know, the floors, and lo and behold, to walk into those bathrooms and clean them without a hazmat suit. That's an amazing blessing. Amen. And I'm thankful for people that say, hey, my job is to clean during Vacation Bible School. I'm very grateful for that. It's a necessary part. It's a part that's there. It's something that we have to do. But I want us to take a serious consideration. What is Bible school, the ministry, really about? Reaching children. Amen. It's about people. It's about reaching children that we might reach what? Their families. And all those other things are good and necessary, and we function in those realms. And like I said, please don't misunderstand me this morning. Sometimes that's what God has you as a ministry. And when I say that, I mean that's your focus, though. I mean, you take care of it very well because that's your ministry, all right? But sometimes we just do things because they're a part, and we're not really participating in the true work of the ministry, which is people, its lives. And we need to ask ourselves, how does God want us to do that? And so this morning, for just a few minutes, I'll list you a few more before we finish, ways that we would interact in people's lives, ways that we would touch lives, because really the church is not the building, right? We understand that, correct, right? This structure is just here so that we don't have to be out in the heat and the sun, and we have a place to meet, all right? The ministry is the people, and we need to focus on people. So here's a ministry that is often needed in the church and in Vacation Bible School. It's that interaction. It's people. And I know a lot of times we sometimes hide behind things and we say, well, I'm not a people person. I just have to disagree with you, because every person that I know is a people person, because you're not a dog person, or an elk person, or a flower person. You are a human being. Now, I understand you might be shy a little bit. I get that. I get it. You might be a little bit more quiet than other people are. But did you know there are other people that are like you in that way? You see, not everybody likes me. Did you know that? I know you didn't believe that, but not everybody likes me, all right? Some people don't like my personality. Some people don't like my, you know, outgoingness. Some people don't like that about me. And they kind of like a person like you, who's quiet, who isn't so invasive. And God wants you to be a part of their life. God wants you to interact with them. God wants you to touch them. Not every child responds to Brother Bill. Did you know that? They don't. But they might respond to you. Not every visitor that walks in the doors of Mountain View Baptist Church responds to Pastor Matt first. But they might respond to you. Do you see what I'm saying? And you need to take upon yourself the work of the ministry and says, who are the people that God wants me to impact? Because every person in this room, if you are a believer in Jesus Christ, if you've been saved, friends, you need to get baptized. You need to become a part of the church. And then you need to begin to grow. Pardon me. And as you grow, your life needs to begin to touch others. Everybody. Everybody. Everybody, no exceptions, because that is the work of the ministry. You should have people that you are interacting with in Bible study, prayer, their spiritual life, their growth, their development. and somebody should be interacting with you. If you're sitting here today and will say, well, nobody's ever interacted with me in that way, then I'd be a pastor and say, Pastor, I'm trying to grow as a Christian and I'm not getting what I need. Help me and find that person, because we are all, the Bible says in Timothy, faithful men to teach others, to teach others, to teach others. And so somebody disciples you, mentors you, and you begin discipling and mentoring other people. When I began to teach this in Zimbabwe, one of the men in the church is now discipling 17 different people that he's meeting with on a weekly basis, some in groups, some individually, just helping them grow in their walk with God. That's what all, you may not need 17, but could you imagine if every person in this room just had one or two people they were interacting with, whether it was children or adults? And so sometimes when you come to Vacation Bible School, that's what God wants you to do. He wants you to find that family, those children, and you connect with them. You join to them. Because, see, this building is only complete because underneath of that drywall, there's timbers that are all connected to each other, you see? And that corner over there has no relationship with this corner over here, except for everything that is what? In between it. And that's the church, right? I mean, my toe, I don't think I can get it to touch my head. I could try, but I won't in public, all right? But my toe is connected to my head through what? All the other parts of the body. And that's how it is in the church. We are all connected together through those relationships that God wants us to have. In Vacation Bible School, more specifically, we have a verse time. And how important it is that somebody sits down with a child, not just hearing the verse, but helping them understand the verse, making sure that it's in their heart. But that verse time is also a connection time. Because they come back and they come back and they come back. And you can sit there with that child and you can hear the verse. There's a soul winning time. There's an invitation time where people respond and say, I need to know how to be saved. Somebody has to connect with them. Somebody has to sit down with them and say, let me show you how to become a child of God. Many years ago, I was in a Vacation Bible School when I was first starting out, and we were in a small town. Really, the pastor had resigned the church before I came, and just like a week before, so we did the Bible school without the pastor. Just one older couple in the church that was helping. They were very committed to their church. And but every day, the first day we had like two kids, you know, so we didn't even have Bible school. We just got in the van. We drove around town and we kidnapped about, you know, six other kids and brought them back to the church. You could do that back in those days. Today you go to jail. All right. But we brought the kids in. We had Bible school. It grew to about 25, 30 kids by the end of the week. But every day when I'd finish preaching, you know, I'd give an invitation. And, you know, one child might raise their hand, sometimes two. My wife was there to help at that time. And the husband, the other guy, his wife was there. But every time the invitation came, boy, he'd disappear. And I was like, interesting. But on the Friday, you know, we've been teaching the gospel. There was like several kids that raised their hands. And I had some go with my wife, some with his wife. But there were two boys that were sitting up front, and I didn't have anybody to send them with. And he stuck his head in the door, and I just called his name. I said, can you talk to these kids? With a scared look on his face, he shook his head. I said, go talk to him. I kept the other few kids in there. About 20 minutes later, those two little boys, some of their names, Xavier and Jeff, they came trucking down the aisle. They were just smiling from ear to ear, you know. I looked at them, and I said, what'd you do today? They said, we got saved. So excited for them. Finished up, I was actually doing a Bible school in another town, two Bible schools in the same week. It was across time zones, so we could do it that way. So I'm packing stuff up to get back to the other church. And that man came in after taking the kids home, and he said, can I talk for a minute? I said, sure. And he said, you know, I've been a Christian all my life since I got saved as a child. I grew up in a Christian church. And he said, but I've never told anybody how to get saved. And he said, I was so afraid to. He said, but on Wednesday, I told my wife, I sure would like to lead one of those children to Christ. So last night and all day, my wife's been showing me the verses. We've been going through verses in the Bible. He said, I think my wife told me how to get saved 100 times, you know. And he said, I was so scared. But he said, when I stuck my head in that door and you looked at me and asked if I could talk, I said, oh, Lord, help me. And he said, I got to see those kids saved today. It was a great joy. And I thought, great thing, but how sad for how many years he could have been doing that. You know, Vacation Bible School is a great opportunity for you to come and have an opportunity to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ. Just like it is every Sunday at your church when visitors come and people come. It's an opportunity. There's an opportunity for follow-up. You know, Vacation Bible School does not finish on Friday. That's just the beginning. Every family that visits here on Friday night needs someone to go visit them sometime. And it may not be at their house. You may know that family, and it might be I see them here and there throughout town. It might mean you go by where they work or where else you meet them and say, hey, man, I'm so glad you came to our Bible school program. My name is so-and-so. I met you there. Remember me? That it means on Friday night you have to go around and meet people, you know, and say, I'm just glad you came. Hey, if we could ever help you with something, you know what I'm saying? Be their friend. Come back to church on Sunday. Try to talk to them about the gospel. Tell them about other things that are coming up. If they may not come back to your church on Sunday, but, you know, you might have something special a month or two from now. And you go by because now you know them and say, hey, we're having something special at our church again. I'd like to invite you. You see what I'm saying? Because every part of the body is doing a part. Many things that could take place. Follow up. Friday night, we mentioned that. On Friday night, walking around, mingling, talking to people, being friendly to people. Because remember, the ministry is not about the program. It's about what? People. People. And we need to interact with them. And then I wrote one more down. And this is such a difficult one to ponder. But it's teaching. It's teaching. Every single day at Vacation Bible School, we have a class time where you just take one Bible verse, you explain what it means, you illustrate it in some way, and you help the children understand it. A lot of people think that teaching that class is beyond their abilities. But the Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that we ought to all become teachers. Did you know that? Anyone can teach. We all teach. All right. Now, you may not be as dynamic, and you may not be this and that and this and that, but you can teach children. And you can take what God has given you. When I teach a teaching seminar, I tell people I do certain things, but that doesn't mean that's the way you have to do it. You teach the way God made you to teach. And to stand in front of a group of children and say, here's what this verse means. Our soul waiteth on the Lord. He is our strength. He is our shield. I mean, think about how simple that is to talk about resting or trusting the Lord, explaining that word waiteth. How about a shield? How about strength? How many times, how many of you in your life, you ever had a problem come, you prayed, you trusted in God, he answered your prayer, and he helped you through that turmoil in your life? How many of you have ever experienced that? I think probably most of us, right? Did you know as a teacher, all you're doing is sharing what God has done for you? What an amazing thing to stand in front of a group of kids and say, you know, I was doing this in my life. Kids love stories. Did you know that? Did you know they love stories? Storytelling is still the number one way to captivate children. It beats video games every time of the day if you tell a story, all right? Because a video game, they can pause and restart, but a story is there, all right? Real life is cool. That's why television today is full of real life supposed things, right? And you stand in front of a group of kids and say, you know what? I was doing this, and my car this, and this happened, and they're all sitting there, you know? And you say, I'll tell you what happened in just a moment, but let's read this verse. And they read the verse. They can't read, but they'll repeat it with you. And then you say, let me tell you a bit more about what happened. And they're listening again. And you bring that story into that verse, your life. Right? How many of you have a job or a career? How many of you ever had anything unusual at your job or career? You know? Yeah, all right. You know, kids like to hear about that. I remember one of the greatest Sunday school teachers I ever saw in all my travels. He was an engineer, and he was always bringing things from his work. Mismade things, you know, or something that you made. And he would show the class how it all fit together. And the class was like, you know. And how easy it is to take a verse and say, oh, wow, I got this in my life. You know, I got a pet eagle at home. Don't tell the government, all right? But I'll bring my eagle to class, you know. And we're going to talk about the wings as eagles. I know you probably don't have an eagle. But probably some of you know more about eagles than I know about eagles. Probably some of you might have seen eagles. Or you know, see what I'm saying? And that's all teaching is. It's just taking your real life experience and using that to help people understand the Bible. And God can use you in that way. And so I want to encourage you to think about not just Vacation Bible School, but the church. What's your part? What's your part? And I know we can all say, well, I give and I pray and I do those things. And I understand that. But remember, God wants your life to touch other lives. That's what the real ministry is about, because everything else is meaningless. And so ask God to help you. If you're struggling with it, just go to your pastor and say, Pastor Matt, I do want to fit in. Amen. I do want to supply whatever joint needs to be. I want to be the part of the building of the church that God wants me to be. How can I help touch people's lives? Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you for this day. Thank you for this class time. Lord, thank you for this church and its continued outreach. And Lord, I know that what I'm teaching this morning is in practice in many areas, but God, help us to be reminded of it. Help us to be strengthened in it, Lord. Help, Father, maybe some that have come and, Lord, they're trying to figure out how they can fit in to touch lives, that, Lord, you'd show them that this week. And, Lord, we just know it would further impact the community and the world with the gospel. And, Lord, we ask this in your precious name.